The Bible and nature plainly declare to us that everything bears fruit after its kind. We learn early on in the book of Genesis, and if you want to go back there with me, right in chapter number 1, verse number 11 says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." By the way, if folks would just take that verse in the philosophy class, we wouldn't have these stupid questions like, "I wonder which came first, the chicken or the egg?" The chicken came first, folks, just in case you wanted to know. "Whose seed is in itself," it says. Amen. And you go on there. Look at verse number 21, if you would, in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 21 says, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Jump down to verse 24. "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so." And on we could go, folks. Apple trees bear apples. Amen? Grapevines bear grapes. Gorillas, if they're male and female, bring forth other gorillas. And on, dogs, male and female, bring forth dogs. Why? Because everything brings forth after its kind, and the seed is in itself. By the way, if you read Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 22, you'll find that false teachers bring forth false doctrine. And the Bible says simply in verse 20, "By their fruits ye shall know them." Why? Because the fruit that is born within is what comes off the tree. Amen. The seed that's there is what it is. Our context back in the book of Colossians, and we see a few things. We look at, first of all, the city. The city of Colossae was 100 miles east of Ephesus, and it was once a populous center of commerce, but now in Paul's time, it's been passed over to its sister cities, Hierapolis, and a city we know of in the book of Revelation called Laodicea. So we see the city there in verse number 2. It says, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae." We find the church in verse number 7. It says, "As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." This church was birthed during Paul's Ephesian ministry. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 19 that Paul labored at Ephesus for 3 years. And verse 10 of Acts 19 says that the gospel went all throughout Asia because of that church. By the way, isn't that a blessing? Churches planting other churches. Missionaries planting other missionaries. Praise God. So you see the city, you see the church. The crisis of Colossians was this. There was a group called the Gnostics that had come in and they had perverted the gospel. That word Gnostic means to know. And they had taken some philosophical knowledge and come up with an evolutionary emanations of deity, that there was all kinds of different stages of deity. And it led Paul to a contending. And the contending is found in verse 18. It says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the first begotten from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." And he begins to do a what we would call an apologetic, a doctrinal dissertation on the preeminence of Christ. And you read Colossians and you will find that he is preeminent. Amen? Read, if you would, go over just a page. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." And he's talking right here about Gnosticism. after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And here it is. These two verses, folks, sum up our argument. For in Him, talking about in Christ, dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and powers. So in chapter 1 of Colossians, we find the declaring of Christ's preeminence. In chapter 2, we find the defending of Christ's preeminence. And in chapters 3 and 4, we see the demonstrating of Christ's preeminence. I want you to go back to chapter 1 and look at verses number 5 and 6, where I want to focus tonight. And I'll be brief. I've got 9 points tonight. I don't have a lot of sub-points, and I'm aware of the time. I won't be any longer than we normally are. But look at verses 5 and 6. It says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth," what's the next word, church? Fruit. It bringeth forth fruit. The gospel, as outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, by the way, that chapter is so wonderful, it says, according to the scriptures. That Jesus died according to the scriptures. Jesus was buried according to the scriptures. And Jesus rose again according to the scriptures. By the way, this is our authority, ladies and gentlemen. Right here, amen. The Bible says that He did all those things. So the gospel will, like everything else, bring forth fruit. It says it right here, that the gospel, the truth of the gospel, bringeth forth fruit. So I want you to look tonight, and we'll stay in Colossians mostly, but I want to, the title of my message tonight is The Fruit of the Gospel. What is the fruit of the gospel in the life of God's people? I want you to notice, first of all, in verse number 4, it says this, here's Paul, and he's in his salutation to the saints at Colossae, and he says this, he says, "Since we heard of your faith." The first fruit of the gospel is faith. See, faith, by the way, faith has to be mixed. Amen. You have, the Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. Amen. There needs to be initial faith just to trust Christ. And by the way, Romans 12:3 tells us that God hath appointed to every man the measure of faith. There's nobody that can't be saved because they don't have enough faith. They just refuse to be saved. God hath put that seed in every man to be able to believe and to trust in Him. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, I love the fact that it says here, "Since we heard of your faith." They had a testimony of faith. And ladies and gentlemen, us as Christians, those of us that have received the gospel, we should be bringing forth the fruit of faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." Then you know what it says in Romans 10:17? It says this, praise God, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You want to increase your faith? Read your Bible more. Have more devotions, amen. Get another devotional. Be in this book morning, noon, and night, amen. Make it a regular part of your day. Why? Because the fruit of the gospel in a Christian is faith. Secondly, tonight, it says there also at the end of verse 4, it says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the," not just love though, it's specific love. It says, "the love which ye have to all the saints." So the first fruit of the gospel is faith. The second fruit of the gospel is love. And in specific, love for the brethren. Go over to 1 John with me, amen. 1 John, hold your place there in Colossians, and let me show you some verses here that would be a blessing. I know they're a blessing to me. In 1 John chapter number 4, 1 John chapter 4, that's right before Revelation. You've got Revelation, Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, amen, chapter number 4. And begin with me in verse number 7. Just read along here, and you'll see a predominant word. You may want to take your pen and underline. I've taken my pen and circled all the times here. It says, "Beloved, let us," what? love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God had sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Jump down to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth God, and in God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear, for fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If any man say, now listen, John and James, love them. Love to read their epistles. John bloodies that carnal Christian's nose right here. Because he says this: if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. I don't know about you, I don't know when the last time you looked at somebody and said, you're a liar. That's pretty serious, amen? You better be sure. John is very sure here. If you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. You're a liar. And then he says this: for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be a fruit of the gospel. And by the way, it not ought to be, it is. It's a fruit of the gospel. If we have received the gospel, a fruit that hangs off that tree is the fruit of faith. But another fruit that hangs off that tree is the fruit of love. Hereby shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Nothing makes me more happy as your pastor, as far as guests go, is when they come and they say, my heavens, what a loving church. What a friendly church. You could feel the love of God in this place. I tell you, I rejoice because I know that that's the fruit of the gospel. Love for the brethren. So we have faith. We have love. Look back at verse 5, if you would, in Colossians. It says, for the hope which is laid up. Hope is another fruit of the gospel. You know, hope is simply the expectation of good. And ladies and gentlemen, if anybody ought to have hope, it's God's people. Listen, I know things are bad. I understand that our country is not getting better. It's kind of like trying to prove evolution. You're trying to prove that things are getting better and better and better. They're not. They're not. Technology seems to be improving, but not getting better morally. Getting worse, getting worse, getting worse. I understand that. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, our hope is not in this world. We're looking, or we're supposed to be looking, for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about, let be always ready to give an answer of the hope that lieth within you with meekness and fear. But can I say this, and please, I've said this before, there's got to be an inkling of hope on your face for somebody to see the hope within you. Too many Christians dragging their lower lips. Listen, we've got hope, amen? It's a fruit of the gospel. Brother George said to me tonight, I saw him, and bless his heart, he labored to get down into that pew. I watched him, I saw him grimace, and he said, well, I know this, things will get better. I love hearing that, amen. I wish every Christian could hear that from this man that's suffering and in pain. And by the way, in church on Wednesday night, amen, despite the pain, he said, I've got hope that things will turn around. Listen, the Christian is the only one that has the guarantee of hope. Amen? So hope is a fruit of the gospel. Love is a fruit of the gospel. Faith is a fruit of the gospel. Look at verses 6 through 9. I'll hit this quick here, but it says there, the back half of the verse says, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God and truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Number four, something that should be a fruit of the gospel should be knowledge. And I'm not just talking about knowledge, worldly knowledge. I'm talking about knowledge about this book. Getting to know God. Amen. And it says it right there. It talks about in verse 6 that we would know grace in truth. And then when you go further down there, it talks about wisdom. It talks about the knowledge of His will. It talks about spiritual understanding, that we would be filled with knowledge. Not just knowledge that puffeth up, but getting to know God. And by the way, the more you get to know God, the more you love God. The more you get to know God, by the way, the more we see how wretched we are as ourselves. Come on, church, amen. And yet He still loves us. I'll tell you what, a fruit of the gospel ought to be knowledge. Hope, love, faith. Let me give you the next one, verse 10. It says that you might walk worthy of the Lord. You know what else should be a fruit of the gospel? Conduct. Conduct. Do you know in the military you can be dismissed for conduct unbecoming? That's improper conduct. You know it says right here, Paul's desire, Paul's prayer for the saints at Colossae is that they would walk worthy. If you would, go over to Ephesians. Well, actually, just go back two books here to Ephesians. And I want you to just notice some things quick, and we can just hit them. But it's a great study concerning our conduct, concerning our walk. Because Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, here's Paul again to the church at Ephesus. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy. Amen. Same phrase that he uses in Colossians there. But then he goes down, look at verse 17, and he says this. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. You know what? There's some things, Christians, that we just can't do. Amen. I don't care if everybody, I don't care if every church is doing it. Paul says, you know what? I know you're saved. You're saved Gentiles. So you're this church at Ephesus. But I want to tell you, don't walk like everybody else. Walk worthy. Amen. Says there, walk not as others. Go to Ephesians 5:2. We see something else about our walk. And we've already hit this, so we won't stay long. It says, walk in love, as Christ also loved us. Amen. Walk in the love of Christ. Amen. As you're walking through this world. Ephesians 5:8. Look there, please. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Hey, don't go to those dark places anymore. Amen. Don't go to where darkness rules and where darkness makes all its money. Don't go to those places anymore. Why? Because we're children of light. Walk in the light. Amen. Ephesians 5:15, it tells us something else about our walk here. It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. We're to walk carefully, cautiously. Amen. Not on eggshells, but careful. Careful. Over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 16. Philippians 3:16, it says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Say, how are we supposed to walk there, Pastor? Supposed to walk in unity. Supposed to walk in unity, having the same mind, amen. And of course, you can go back a chapter and find out that mind is the mind of Christ. And I'll tell you what, we'll always be in unity when we've got our mind on others. Come on, church, amen. When we're fractured, when we're all about self, the unity dies off. But when we're thinking about meeting the needs of others, helping them with the gospel, then back to Colossians chapter 2. And so talking about our conduct, walking worthy here. Don't walk as others. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Walk circumspectly. Walk in unity. And really, chapter 2, verse 6 nails it down right here. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Just walk in Christ. Amen. Walk in Christ. Talking about our conduct, it's a fruit of the gospel. Knowledge is a fruit of the gospel. Hope is a fruit of the gospel. Love is a fruit of the gospel. Faith is a fruit of the gospel. Go back to Colossians chapter 1 and look at verse 2. This one, I almost missed this one as I was studying it. But it really is good. It jumps out. It says right there, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. You know what's a fruit that falls off the gospel tree? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. I was listening to a message today, and the preacher was talking about how you can't make people do things in the ministry. And that's so true. Listen, nobody made you come tonight. You came because you wanted to. You came. You may have said, hey, look, the preacher's going to be mad at me if I don't come. That's a motive, not a good one, but by the way, I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm going to be mad as a hornet at you if you don't come. No. You may have said, well, I don't have anything better to do. There's all kinds of motives. But I think about the scriptural one that just says, it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. I think about Hebrews 10:25. It says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Listen, faithfulness ought to be a fruit that falls. Whatever you do for God, do it faithfully. If you, listen, you run that bus, do it faithfully. And I know you do, brother. I'm talking the Wednesday night crowd. Listen, Miss Robin, Miss Kidd, Miss Vivian, I know Miss Debbie's not here tonight. She's working. But you play those instruments, you play them faithfully. And they do, by the way. Amen. You know, our deacons, all that you do, all the deaking that you do, do it faithfully. Amen. Whatever you do, Sunday school, where you, Mrs. B, you clean the church, and you do, by the way, faithfully. I know I'm talking to the Wednesday crowd. You are the faithful crowd. To me, it's just a fruit of the gospel. It's a fruit that falls out of the Christian that has received the gospel. Why? Because Jesus was faithful to us and is faithful to us. Amen. So it's a fruit of the gospel, faithfulness. Also in verse 2, there's another one here. It says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. You know something I see there, Brother Leonard, is I see a fruit of the gospel is people. People. God pity the church that stops trying to reach people. Because God's done with you. And God's done with me. If I'm the pastor of a church that stops trying to reach people. You know what, brother? I appreciated Brother Howard's prayer request. You know what? That's somebody. Now, obviously, it's a family member, but that's on Brother Howard's heart. By the way, that's the way all of our hearts ought to be. When we take that couple out to lunch, when we take that friend, we go somewhere and just have a good time somewhere, we know they're not saved. It ought to always be in our heart that we want to reach others. You know, the Church of Colossae started with Epaphras, and nobody else. And all of a sudden, there was saints and faithful brethren. There was others. There was people. Amen. Something else. Look at verse 11. You see there. So we see faith, love, hope, knowledge, conduct, faithfulness, people. Verse 11 says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You know what should be a fruit of the gospel? Growth. Growth. And by the way, growth is sometimes not how you and I think it should be. Moms, aren't you glad you didn't give birth to an adult? Come on! I remember my wife and I years ago saw this Russian lady gave birth to a 19-pound baby. Oh my goodness, I almost fell over, amen? Just 19-pound baby. No. Growth is gradual. It takes place in stages, and so does spiritual growth. Amen? But Paul says here that you would be strengthened with all might. Show me somebody that lifts weights, and I'll show you somebody that's striving to do better. Amen? To grow. And it talks about some growth that takes place here. Patience. And listen, we know from our study in James that tribulation worketh. Those trials that I can't stand. Just me. Oh, thank you for that one amen. Amen. No, you like trials. I know you're spiritual, but I'm not. I don't like trials. Amen. But they do produce patience, don't they? The next time around, we're not so quick to... And it says there, it talks about not only patience, but long-suffering, a sister word. Oh, long-suffering, that we would all be more long-suffering. It talks about joyfulness. It's all growth, amen? It's a fruit of the gospel. Growth, people, faithfulness, conduct, knowledge, hope, love, faith. Number 9 and last of all, look at verse 12. Giving thanks. Gratitude should be a fruit of the gospel. Gratitude. Pastor Donald had... We were talking today. We just had some good fellowship. And he was talking about how he prays with his boys each night. And he said he always closes his prayer with, God, give them good lives and good wives. I like it. Amen. I think that's a good way to close your prayer. We were talking about that and the way we pray with our boys and at different times and over meals and things like that. And folks, I hope this doesn't get trite or old when you hear me say this, but we always say, Lord, thank you for this food that you provide through our church. Because the truth is, it's your giving that pays my salary. And by the way, contrary to what I heard David Barton say, it's not Christian welfare. No, it's not. No, it's God ordained. You read 1 Timothy chapter 5. Talks about elders that rule well are to be taken care of. Amen. But we always, 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 anytime we get our boys anything, we always say, thank you, God, for giving this to us. Thank you for our church that provides it for us. You know why, Brother Jeff? I don't want my kids to be ingrates. If there's two things I can't tolerate out of my... Three, actually. I couldn't tolerate lying, stealing, or ingratitude. Those three things will provoke the wrath of Daddy. But especially that last one. Because if there anybody ought to be grateful, it's a child of God. Because the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we all deserve hell. And we're not getting it. Because of the mercy, goodness, and grace of another. And the least we could do is be thankful. So the application is simple. How's your gospel fruit tree looking? How's it looking? Does it have faith? Do you have more faith today than you had 2 years ago? Are you trusting God with more in your life? How about your love, and particularly your love for the brethren? He that hateth his brother, he's a liar. How about hope? Are you walking around with looking like Eeyore all the time? Oh boy, it's just hard to be a Christian. Oh. Or do you have hope? Amen. How about knowledge? Are you growing in your knowledge of the Word of God? How about your conduct? Are you walking worthy? Faithfulness. Hey, listen, you're Wednesday night. I don't have to talk about faithfulness. You are faithful. Maybe God spoke to you about some areas that you could be more faithful in. How about people? Are you actively trying to reach people? I think about growth. Are you growing in God's Word and in joy and in patience and in long-suffering? And are you grateful? How's that tree looking? Let's look at one more verse and we'll be done. I want you to look at John chapter 15. We're talking about the fruit of the gospel. John chapter 15. Look at the first two verses here. Jesus here, in the last of his great I ams that he gives all through the Gospel of John. It's a great study, by the way. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. This is the last of them. And he says right there in chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now think about this, folks. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So maybe your gospel fruit tree's looking a little bare. Maybe it's a little anemic. You know what you need to do? Just do some purging. Just do some pruning. Cut away some of that dead stuff. Amen? That's hurting your walk with God. Cut away some of that dead stuff. And by the way, let me just say this. It's so much harder for the gospel to bear fruit if it's never given. Amen? Now, the gospel is supernatural. God can take one of these cards left on a door like we'll leave on them tomorrow night and do an incredible work. But the Bible says this. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, it's the power of God. It's the dunamis. It's the dynamite of God. But here's what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Here's a question. When's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? I don't see a lot of fruit of the gospel, Pastor. Start sharing it again. Start sharing it again. You'll see fruit. Father, we love you. Thank you.